الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: آية المنافق ثلاث: إذا حدث كذب، وإذا وعد أخلف، وإذا اؤتمن خان. رواه البخاري ومسلم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Most respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening from home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down with this beautiful deen of Islam, a comprehensive religion, a comprehensive way of life that covers all aspects of being a human being, of being an insan. And sometimes we restrict Islam to physical acts of worship, our salah, our fasting, our dressing, and these are very important. But Islam is not restricted to physical acts of worship. It encompasses all aspects of being a good human being. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us from beginning to end so many important lessons with regards to how we can be good human beings. One very important aspect of being a good human being is ensuring that we have honesty, sidq, trustworthiness, amanatdari, and honesty in our lives. And sometimes we may trivialize these aspects of being a good human being, and we focus so much on the physical acts of worship that we forget these important aspects and they bring us down. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a beautiful hadith. And if we study this hadith and we ascertain how it impacts our life, our respected Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahimahullah would mention that his ustad would advise them when studying a hadith that, am I in this hadith? Me. Am I in this hadith that perhaps Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning about certain actions? Am I guilty of those? Or is this hadith in me, meaning that sometimes there are certain good things that a person is supposed to do? Are those qualities mentioned in the hadith in my life? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the signs of hypocrisy are three. This does not mean that there are no other signs of hypocrisy, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is drawing our attention to these three weaknesses that may exist in a person's life. The signs of hypocrisy are three. A man will have the qualities of nifaq in him if he has these three qualities. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ, when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ, when he makes a promise, then أَخْلَفَ, he breaks that promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ, and when he is entrusted with something, he betrays that trust. Now before we go into the explanation of the different categories mentioned in this hadith, it is important that we understand that when we talk about nifaq and hypocrisy, there are two categories of hypocrisy. One is the nifaq i'tiqadi, nifaq in our beliefs, nifaq in our iman. This is when a person acts like he is a believer, but in reality in his heart, he disbelieves in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this category of hypocrites that were present at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these hypocrites would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they would say that we testify that you are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows that you are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies that these hypocrites are lying. They're saying something with their tongues with regards to iman, but in reality, they believe something else. So this is one category of hypocrisy. The second category of hypocrisy is nifaq a'mali. Hypocrisy in our actions. This is what this particular hadith is referring to. It does not mean that a person will become a hypocrite in terms of his iman, but in terms of his actions, he will have traits of hypocrisy in him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, and it comes in another narration, adding on to this hadith, that these are the three signs of hypocrisy. Even though a person may perform salah, even though a person may fast in the month of Ramadan, and he may consider himself to be a true Muslim. So despite the fact that he does these actions, and he thinks himself to be a true Muslim, his iman is incomplete, his Islam is incomplete, because he has these traces of hypocrisy in him. The first category, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. That when he speaks, he lies. Now this act of lying has always been abhorred, it has always been frowned upon, even in the time of Jahiliyyah. If that Abu Sufyan, at that time he was not a believer, when he came to the court of the king of Rome, Heracl, and he was asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a very lengthy hadith, but he himself mentions that despite the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most hated person to me at that time, and I wished to say things incorrect, I wished to lie and fabricate about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I had my companions around me and I did not wish to be called a liar. Therefore, he spoke the truth about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this concept of being truthful, of being honest, of speaking that which is true, is not something that is unique only to Islam, but it is something that was part of good humanity even before the advent of Islam. Nowadays, we have become extremely careless when it comes to speaking lies. And we trivialize, especially when it's a small item, we trivialize these small lies, and we make it seem as if it is not something to be very concerned about. For example, a child has to go to school, and for whatever reason the child is unable to go to school or doesn't feel like going to school, then we make it a very small thing. We'll just tell the teacher that you are not feeling well. When in reality the child is playing, the child is jumping, the child is running, or even worse, when it comes to madrasa, just tell the Maulana that I'm not feeling well today. Just tell the Maulana, just tell the Apa that I was ill. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, Damat Barakatuhu, under the commentary of this hadith mentions that on one occasion there was a doctor in Pakistan who was working abroad, and he came to meet Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu. He had ta'alluq, he had a connection with the ulama, and Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatuhu asked him that how long are you going to be around for, when do you return back to whichever country you are working in. So he said to him that, look, I'm going to be here for another 8 or 10 days. So he said, Alhamdulillah, mashallah, you got quite a long holiday, quite a bit of leave. So he said, no, my leave has expired, but I've sent a medical certificate to allow me to extend my leave. So Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib mentions that the way he said it, like it was just, you know, something that was normal, by the way, I sent a medical certificate. So he said, okay, what does this medical certificate say? He says, the medical certificate says that I am not fit to travel to go back home. So Hazrat says to him that, look, you seem to be in perfect physical condition. Do you realize that what you are doing is against the Sharia? You are telling a lie. So this person said that, look, I only have a certain amount of leave available to me. If I have to, there's no other way for me to extend the time that I need to spend here. So Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu mentions to him that, see, you have a certain amount of leave, you take that leave. If you require additional leave and your employer gives you permission, then you stay and you take unpaid leave. But it is incorrect for you to submit a medical certificate wherein you are saying that you are unwell so that you can remain behind here. And of course this doctor, he was very receptive and he said to Hazrat Damat Barakatuhu that, you know what, this is the first time that I have understood that I am speaking a lie and I will not do this in the future. Another aspect of speaking a lie is sometimes we lie when we speak to children. And we think that it is something trivial. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once in the home of Hazrat Abdullah bin Amir radiallahu anhu, and he himself narrates his hadith and he says that I was a young boy and my mother said to me that, oh young boy, come here, I wish to give you something. She had something in her, made it seem as if there was something in her hand. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her that what is it that you wish to give to him? So she opened her hand and she said that I wanted to give him a date. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if you were just calling him on the pretext that you had something, meaning you were telling him a lie, then you would have been sinful for the lie that you were telling him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so particular about this, that it comes in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that woe to the one who speaks to make people laugh, meaning he tells a joke, and he lies in that joke. And today how common is it that we want to joke with our friends, but we tell a lie in the joke? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is cautioning us that even if a person is making a joke, in that case, a person should not lie. Rather, lies are something that are abhorred. It's very small. At the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is not advocating that we should not have some humor in life. It doesn't mean that a person has to be, you know, sour and all doom and gloom and there's no enjoyment or humor and a person can't tell a joke. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, a woman came to him, and this is how we learn from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do we tell jokes? Jokes should not include any lies. So, this woman comes to him and says, that, O Nabi of Allah, make dua, an old woman, she was a very old woman, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters me into Jannah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, that you know what, and I'm paraphrasing the hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to allow any old woman to enter into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to allow any old woman to enter into Jannah. So this woman becomes perturbed, she begins to cry. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, relax. Everybody that is going to enter into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return them to a youthful phase and then they will enter into Jannah. So this was a means of light-hearted humor that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was carrying out, but it was done in a way, firstly, that was not obscene. And today many of our jokes, we can't laugh unless the joke is obscene. And number two, there were no lies that were included in this joke. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. Very important to understand, especially for our young children, that when a child sees a parent lying and trivializing telling lies, for example, somebody, very common, we say, you know, tell him I'm not at home. Tell him I'm not at home. It's a different masla with regards to whether it's an appropriate time, an opportune time to visit a person and what's the rules and regulations with regards to that. But when a child sees that the parent is trivializing the telling of lies, then it becomes the norm for the child to also tell lies, and we are creating this environment where lies become prevalent. Of course, there are occasions when a person can lie. When is it permissible for a person to tell a lie? When a person's life is in danger, then of course it would be permissible for a person to tell a lie. Ulama also explain that when there is some unbearable torture or oppression that a person is going to undergo, then it would be permissible to tell a lie. However, Sharia exhorts us and commands us that even in that situation, we should try and do it in such a way that we are not telling a lie. It is better to be ambiguous rather than telling an outright lie. For example, on the occasion of Hijrah, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were on the way to Medina Munawwara, and of course we know the incident that there was a bounty on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People were searching for them. So they happened to meet somebody whom Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew. So he greeted him, made salam, spoke to him, and he asked him, who is this person with you? So of course he knew that at that time if he said, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this would have given the game away. Perhaps he may not have captured him immediately, but some information might have been given to the Quraysh of Makkah who were in pursuit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So very beautifully, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said that he is my guide, he is showing me the way. He is my guide, showing me the way, meaning that he is my guide in deen, in dunya, in life, in everything. He's showing me the way, but of course this person assumed that when he was saying this, he meant that he was the guide for this particular journey. The next part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person has a trait of hypocrisy, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. Beautiful incident of Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and his father. They were leaving Makkah Mukarrama to make hijrah to Madinah Munawwara just before the battle of Badr took place. And as they were leaving, they met up with Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl asked them that, where are you going? So they said that we are going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, Abu Jahl is now going out to fight the Muslims. So he says to them that, you know what, I'm not going to be able to allow you to go, because if you go, you are going to add to the numbers of the Muslims and you're going to fight against us. So Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he makes a promise and he says, look, our intention is not to fight you. We are simply going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he takes a promise from them that you will not join the army, and he leaves. And as he is approaching Madinah Munawwara, he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is now on his way for the battle of Badr. So he meets him, the pleasantries, the greetings take place. And then Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu explains what happened. And he says that this is the situation, but it is my desire to join this battle and to join the army with you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let us pause and understand here. What would we have done in this situation? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? This is known as Yawm al-Furqan, the day of criterion, separating haq from batil. There is such a small group of unarmed Muslims or poorly armed Muslims that are going out to face the kuffar. Every single person counts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no. You have given your word is your bond, it is your honor. I cannot permit you to join this army because you have given this promise to Abu Jahl. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, another incident, when he was the governor of Syria, he was opposing the Romans, and there was a treaty between the Romans and the Muslims that there would be no fighting until a particular day. So before that day came, the sunrise of that day, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he gathered his army on the borders of the Muslim lands. And it so happened that before the treaty expired, some of his soldiers went into the enemy lands. And no sooner did the sun rise, did the army then continue and advance. And as it was now advancing, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes running on his horse, and he tells the army, stop, stop. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says to him that, what is the issue? So he says that you have betrayed the contract that you had, the treaty, the peace treaty that you had with the enemy. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu says, how did I betray it? I assembled my army, we waited until the treaty was expired. He said, look, you had this advantage and some of your troops already went in before the treaty was expired. Now again, ask ourselves the question, what would we say? These are disbelievers, what does it matter? You know what? We've already gone through. He says, no. Allahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a person betrays his honor, his covenant, his promise, then this is a great sin. So immediately Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he retreats. He gives back the entire territory that he had captured at that time, because it was captured through a betrayal. Hazrat Abdullah bin Hamsa radiallahu anhu mentions, and this is a very common issue with us, that we make a promise sometimes to pay something. And we, when the time comes to pay, we make an excuse. Oh, I don't have the money. I'm gone for Umrah. I'm gone on Jamaat. I'm gone on this program, on that program. But we have made a promise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he did business before the time of Nubuwa. He did business with this particular individual. He himself is narrating the hadith. And they had made an arrangement that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owed him something, and they were to meet at a certain point, at a particular time. this person forgot about it, and he did not come after a few days. When he came, he found that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "That caused me great inconvenience. I have been waiting at this open place for the last 3 days." Commentators of hadith mentioned that this hadith shows us the importance of upholding our promise. Many times we make this appointment with somebody that I'm going to meet you at a particular time, but generally, as we say, we refer to it colloquially as Indian time. It means it's 15 minutes later, it's 20 minutes later, it's half an hour later. We are late for that appointment. This is contrary to the teachings of Sharia. When we make a time, a promise to meet a person at a particular place, at a particular time, we should ensure that we are there on time. Our time has come to an end. We discussed two aspects of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that there are three qualities that a person, if he has them, then he possesses traces of hypocrisy. What are these three qualities? Number one, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. That when he speaks a lie. Whether it is a big lie or a small lie, when he speaks a lie. Number two, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When he makes a promise, then he breaks that promise. And the third part of the hadith, which we did not discuss, but we will mention, that وَإِذَا تُمِنَ. That when he is entrusted with something, whether it is wealth, whether it is property, whether it is a secret private conversation that took place between two individuals, or any other property that he is entrusted with, then وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. He betrays this trust. This is contrary to the Sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have these qualities of sidq, truthfulness, trustworthiness, honesty in our lives. These are beautiful qualities which if we bring into our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us handsomely. We also make dua in conclusion for our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with victory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from the hypocrisy of those who are seeking to betray them. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.